أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
After reciting the tashahhud, ta'awud and surah al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih the Fifth, may Allah be his helper, stated, The battle of Khaybar was being discussed. The details of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, setting out towards Khaybar are as follows. An army of 1,600 devotees set off from Medina under the leadership of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. This included a cavalry of 200 men. Prior to setting off, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, dispatched a unit to gather intelligence, which was given the duty of securing the path ahead and also to gather intelligence. The leader of this unit was Hazrat Abbad bin Bishr Ansari. In order to navigate the routes of Khaybar, two guides were hired for 20 sa' of dates. 20 sa's equates to 50 kilos. The names are recorded as Hasil bin Kharija Ashja'i and Abdullah bin Nu'im. Both of them belong to the tribe of Ashja. On the way from Medina to Khaybar, they camped in various places and set up their tents in a place called Sahba. The time for prayer approached when they reached this place. In Bukhari, it is recorded that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, offered the Asr prayer there. Following this, he requested for some food. The army was only carrying sattu, a nutritious flour made from pulses and cereals, and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and the companions ate that. The narrator relates that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then got up for the Maghrib prayer. He rinsed his mouth, and so did we. He then offered the prayer, but did not perform ablution again. The distance between Sahba and Khaybar was 12 miles. During the journey, some incidents occurred which indicated that even during such tumultuous circumstances, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, paid great attention to the moral training of the companions and drew their attention towards developing qualities such as discipline and obedience. A similar incident has been related that one night, something was seen flashing in front of the army. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, became concerned, and upon investigating it, he came to know that it was a soldier of the Muslim army who had left the army and was marching far ahead. His helmet was reflecting light as it was made from silver. His name was Abu Abs. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, Bring him to me. Hazrat Abu Abs relates that I became worried that something might have been revealed about me since I made a mistake. He anxiously presented himself before the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The Holy Prophet inquired, Why did you leave the army and march so far ahead? In any case, he apologized. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, guided him and said, You should travel alongside the army. Following this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, started talking to him. He was one of the poor companions who did not have provisions to take into this battle. he came to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and said, O Messenger of Allah, I do not have any provisions, and there is nothing left at home either. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, gave him one of his cloths. This wise companion took this cloth to the market, said that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had given it to him and sold it for 8 dirhams. For 2 dirhams, he bought provisions, etc. for his home. And for another 2 dirhams, he bought provisions for the journey. And for the remaining 4 dirhams, he bought a cloth for himself and joined the army. During the conversation, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, asked him, Where is the cloth that I gave you? He answered, I sold it. And then he gave all these details which have just been mentioned. Hearing this from Abu Abs, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, smiled and said, O Abu Abs, you are now in very constrained circumstances, but by He in whose hand is my life, if you survive and live a long life, O Abu Abs, you shall see that there will be a great increase in your provisions. You will see a great increase in the amount of food you have for your family. You shall possess vast amounts of wealth, and you shall possess many servants. However, none of this will be very good for you. Hazrat Abu Abs witnessed with his own eyes how this prophecy of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, was fulfilled. And he would say that by Allah, everything transpired just as the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had stated. Abu Abs's introduction is that his original name was Abdul Uzza, and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, renamed him Abdul Rahman. He reached the age of 70 and passed away in the era of Hazrat Uthman's caliphate. Hazrat Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, led his funeral prayer and he was buried in Jannat al-Baqi. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also sent a message of reconciliation to the Banu Ghatafan. As has just been mentioned, whilst advancing towards Khaybar, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, set up camp in Sahba and offered the Asr, Maghrib and Isha prayers there. This place was located 12 miles from Khaybar. Having completed the prayers, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, called the two guides, and whilst informing them of his battle plans, he said, I desire to attack Khaybar in a manner whereby I come between the people of Khaybar and the king of Syria, so that they cannot flee from there towards Syria. At the same time, I shall obstruct the Banu Ghatafan so that they cannot lend support to these Jewish people. The guide named Hasil set off with the army and stopped at a place where there were several paths from Khaybar to that valley. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, inquired about the names of all these paths, to which he gave the names of Hazan, Shash, Hatib, etc., which in terms of their meaning indicated to narrowness, difficulty, grief and trouble. One of the names he gave was Marhab, which means spaciousness and prosperity. And so, in line with divine guidance, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, took a good omen and selected this path of Marhab. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was informed that the Banu Ghatafan pledged to support the people of Khaybar, and they had set off with a further army of 4,000 with the mission of attacking the Muslim army on its path before it could reach Khaybar. The Banu Ghatafan had already sent an army of approximately 1,000 towards Khaybar under the leadership of the renowned leading warriors Tulayha bin Khuwaylid and Uyayna bin Hisn, and they had reached the fortresses of Khaybar. Now there was an army of 4,000 in the path of the Muslim army, who in their own estimation was going to stop them and put an end to them. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, corresponded with the Banu Ghatafan and sent them a letter in which he wrote that they should refrain from participating in this imminent war with Khaybar. He made it clear to them that Allah the Almighty promised to him that he would give him victory over Khaybar. According to some historians, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, gave this message that if they moved aside and accepted Islam, then after they conquered Khaybar, it would be granted to these tribes. But others are of the opinion that this was not tied to the condition that they accept Islam. Rather, he states that they should not assist the people of Khaybar and should not support them. In return, they would receive half of Khaybar's annual produce. However, an army of 15,000 seasoned warriors against 1,600 Muslims and their fortified castles solidified the arrogance within their minds, due to which they refused to accept this prophecy of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sent Hazrat Sa'd bin Ubadah, may Allah be pleased with him, the chief of the Khazraj tribe and a righteous companion, to the commander of the Ghatafan army, Uyayna bin Hisn. He was leading 1,000 soldiers of the Banu Ghatafan and was stationed at the fortress of the Jewish leader Marhab in Khaybar at that time. When Uyayna learned that Hazrat Sa'd, may Allah be pleased with him, had come as the representative of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he was about to bring him inside the very same fortress. However, Marhab objected, saying that the Muslim representative should not be allowed inside, so that he doesn't observe the entry points of the fortress. On the other hand, Uyayna said that he wished to bring the Muslim representative inside so that he could witness their great strength, preparations and military equipment. Despite this, Marhab did not agree, upon which Uyayna met Hazrat Sa'd, may Allah be pleased with him, outside the fortress. Hazrat Sa'd conveyed the message of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to Uyayna, that Allah has promised us the conquest of Khaybar. Therefore, you should retreat from here and refrain from battle. After defeating Khaybar, you will even be given a year's worth of dates from its produce. In response, Uyayna said to Hazrat Sa'd, may Allah be pleased with him, we will never abandon our allies under any circumstances, and we are well aware of just how little strength you possess. These Jews possess fortified castles, their soldiers are younger, and they have far more weaponry. If you choose to fight, you will all be killed. These people are not like the Quraysh whom you managed to gain victory over. And he also added, deliver my message to Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him as well. Upon hearing this arrogant response, Hazrat Sa'd, may Allah be pleased with him, said to Uyayna, I bear witness that Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, will surely enter this very fortress, and the offer we have made to you today. At that time, you will seek it from us, but then you will receive nothing but the sword, meaning there would only be war. And O Uyayna, I have already witnessed how we entered the courtyards of the Jews of Medina, and they were utterly devastated. Saying this, Hazrat Sa'd returned and reported everything to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Then, with great sincerity, he submitted, O Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon you, Allah will surely fulfill the promise He has made to you and will grant victory to His religion. Do not give even a single date to this Bedouin, i.e. Uyayna. O Messenger of Allah, if the swords meet them, they will abandon these Jews and flee to their area, just as they fled prior on the day of the Battle of the Trench. During the Battle of the Trench as well, this very tribe had arrived with an army of 6,000 to support the Quraysh, but they ultimately ran away. The divine awe and the withdrawal of the Ghatafan is also mentioned. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated, Nusirtu bil-ru'b, I have been granted assistance through awe. This phenomenon once again manifested itself against the Ghatafan forces. As it was mentioned, a 4,000 strong army from the Banu Ghatafan was pursuing the Muslim army to attack them, so that they could prevent the Muslims from reaching Khaybar. However, a form of divine decree manifested, and this army of the Ghatafan suddenly turned back and returned home. In books of history and biography, it is written that the commander of the Ghatafan army heard a loud voice from behind. A warner was proclaiming that the Muslim battalions had launched a raid on their homes, wealth and livestock, and were about to seize their wealth, women and children. Upon hearing this, they immediately returned and were not able to assist the Jews. This was an unseen assistance, a voice from Allah, the Almighty. The various historical sources disagree about the exact size of the Ghatafan tribe's army. As has been mentioned in reference to one such book, the army of the Banu Ghatafan, which comprised 1,000 soldiers led by Uyayna bin Hisn, joined the Jews in their fortresses at Khaybar to assist them, whereas other historical sources record that the army was actually 4,000 men strong. Thus, it is recorded by some sources that when this army of 4,000 led by Uyayna bin Hisn was en route to Khaybar, they actually ended up speaking with the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him's delegation, which evoked such divine awe in the hearts of the disbelievers that they returned back to their region. This is how it is recorded in Sirat ibn Hisham. In any case, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, continued his journey towards Khaybar. And when the fortresses of Khaybar became visible through the darkness of evening, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, instructed his followers to halt there. When they halted, he prayed, O Allah, Lord of the seven heavens and all that they overshadow, Lord of the seven earths and all that they bear, Lord of the devils and all whom they have led astray, and Lord of the winds and all that they scatter, we ask you for the good of this settlement and its people, and we seek refuge in you from any harm of this settlement and its people. After this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, commanded the army to march forward in the name of Allah. Then the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, proceeded until he reached Manzila, which was Khaybar's marketplace. After the battle, this marketplace was given to Zayd bin Thabit, may Allah be pleased with him, as spoils of war. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, spent a part of the night here. The Jews didn't think that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would attack them, as they were greatly confident on account of their fortresses, artillery and large numbers. When the Jews learned that the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was advancing towards them, they devised that every day an army of 10,000 soldiers would march row by row and say, "Would Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, ever dare try to attack us? It is impossible." When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, reached them, they had no idea until the sun had risen. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, arrived at night time. When the Jews left their fortresses in the morning with spades and buckets in hand for various tasks, they saw the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and raced back to their forts to hide. Hazrat Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, relates that the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, arrived at Khaybar in the evening. However, he did not attack until morning time. Come morning tide, the Jews emerged from their forts with their buckets and spades. Although the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, arrived at night time, he didn't want to attack them at night, but in the morning. When the morning came, the Jews emerged with their buckets and spades in hand. When they saw the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, they began to say, "It's Muhammad, by God, it's Muhammad and his army." The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, replied, ruined is Khaybar, for verily when we, the believers, arrive upon the doorstep of a nation who had been warned, then its people shall wake to a heavy mourning. No permanent encampment was established at Manzila. The position of the Islamic army's camp was changed. It is mentioned in this regard that when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, arrived at Khaybar, he spent the night at a place called Manzila and remained there till the morning. Hazrat Hubab bin Mundhir approached him and said, O Messenger of Allah, if this place, Manzila, is where you have been ordered by Allah to set camp, then we say nothing. However, if this is your personal opinion, we would like to offer some counsel. The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, replied, this is my own opinion. Hazrat Hubab, may Allah be pleased with him, continued, O Messenger of Allah, you are now positioned near their fortresses and in front of their orchards, and the land is barren. I know the people of Nata'a, the enemy, and their archers are unmatched in distance and skill. They are positioned on higher ground, and their arrows can easily reach us. Furthermore, we are not safe from their attacks at night. They can hide within the palm groves. Therefore, I suggest that you move the camp to a different location. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, said, your suggestion is good, but we will engage in battle with them today, regardless. However, at the same time, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, called for Muhammad bin Maslama, who was in charge of the defensive army unit, and instructed him to find a place for them a little distance away from their fortresses. Muhammad bin Maslama went from there and reached the location of Raji', situated between the tribes of Khaybar and Ghatafan. He then returned to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and said, O Messenger of Allah, I have found a place for you. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, replied, proceed with the blessings of Allah. However, prior to this, the Holy Prophet had already declared that the battle would take place from this very spot. Therefore, after the battle concluded in the evening, the entire Islamic army was relocated to the new site. The mention of the various fortresses of Khaybar is also important, and the details in terms of their geographical distribution. This is because the battle was closely related to them, with each fortress being conquered in succession. There is not only a difference in the number of fortresses, but also in their names. Furthermore, the events of this battle are attributed to different fortresses in various books. Some accounts attribute certain events to one fortress, while others link them to a different one. In Tariq al-Ya'qubi, six fortresses of Khaybar are mentioned, but the fortress of Na'im is not listed, even though most books of Sirah state that the Battle of Khaybar began in Na'im. In Zurqani, the number of fortresses is listed as 10. When reviewing all these sources, it can be concluded that the Khaybar region was divided into three parts, Nata'a, Shaq, and Katiba, with a total of 8 fortresses distributed as follows. Nata'a contained 3 fortresses, Aid Na'im, Saab, and the fortress of Zubair. This fortress was known as Qul'a, but later came under the possession of Hazrat Zubair bin al-Awwam, hence it became famous for the fortress of Zubair. Shaq contained 2 fortresses, Ubay and Bari, or some have stated Nazar. Katiba contained 3 fortresses, Qamus, Watiq, and Sulalim. The details of the battle are as follows. Before the battle began, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, addressed the companions in a brief address, saying, "Do not wish to encounter the enemy. Instead, seek protection from Allah. You do not know in what trial you may be placed. When you face the enemy, recite the following prayer. O Allah, you are our Lord and their Lord. Our foreheads and their foreheads are in your hands. You alone will defeat them." After this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, commanded the battle to commence and encouraged the companions to remain patient. The first fortress to be besieged was the fortress of Na'im, which was one of the strongest of their fortresses. On that day, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, engaged in fierce fighting, and the people of Nata'a gave a vigorous resistance. The companions defended with great resolve. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, wore two coats of armor and a helmet, and he was mounted on his horse Dharib. Dharib was the name of his horse. In his hand, he held a spear and a shield. The enemy relentlessly showered arrows, but the Muslims, in turn, carefully fired arrows, since they had very few arrows, and they were even picking up the arrows that had fallen from the enemy. Among the casualties of the battle was the martyrdom of Hazrat Mahmud bin Maslama. Hazrat Mahmud bin Maslama became fatigued, his armor became heavy for him, and the intense heat made it difficult for him. He sat in the shade of the wall of the fortress of Na'im. It is said that the Jewish chief Marhab saw him and rolled a large stone upon him. Some reports state that Kinana bin Rabi' was the one who pushed a stone from above. The stone struck Hazrat Mahmud on the head, causing such a severe injury that his scalp tore and fell over his face. He was brought to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who gently placed the scalp back in its place and bandaged it with a cloth. However, the injury was so severe that Hazrat Mahmud bin Maslama did not survive and passed away a few days later. When Hazrat Mahmud was fatally wounded, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, consoled his brother Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama, saying, "Your brother's killer will soon meet his end." On that first day, the Muslims suffered great losses, with 50 Muslims injured by arrows shot from the fortress. As evening approached, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, went to Raji' and ordered the people to gather there. This was the very location that was chosen on the advice of Hazrat Hubab, and now this became the central meeting point for the Muslims. As mentioned previously, this fortress was the most formidable stronghold of the Jews, and its defense was led by the renowned and valiant warrior of Khaybar, Marhab. Assisting him were his two brothers, Yasir and Harith, who among the cavalry were no less courageous and fearless than him. Historical accounts reveal that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, remained engaged in battle for 10 consecutive days. Each day, he would set out with Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama, while entrusting the supervision of the encampment to Hazrat Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him. As night fell, he would return to the same location where the wounded Muslims were also brought, and their wounds were tended to. Among the incidents of this battle, there is also mention of the duel of Marhab and the martyrdom of Amir bin Aqwa. The account is as follows. During those days, on one occasion, Marhab, the Jewish commander of the fortress, who was unmatched in valor and bravery, emerged from the fort and began openly challenging the Muslims. With arrogance and pride, he brandished his sword and recited the following couplet. Khaybar knows full well that I am Marhab. armed and valiant, a warrior seasoned in battle, ever ready to fight when the flames of battle are ablaze. When Hazrat Amir bin Aqwa heard the challenge of Marhab, he stepped ahead of the army and responded with the following couplets. Every inch of Khaybar bears witness that I am Amir, an armed warrior, valiant and steadfast, who amidst the perils of battle sings with a fearless resolve. After this, they both faced off and traded blows. Marhab struck with his sword, which Hazrat Amir blocked with his shield, and immediately attacked him from below. But since his sword was small, rather than landing on Marhab, Hazrat Amir struck himself. This caused a deep wound to himself, and as a result, he embraced martyrdom. This was the second martyr of this battle, and both were buried in the same grave at Raji. Hazrat Salama bin Aqwa narrates that when his uncle, Hazrat Amir bin Aqwa, was martyred by his own hand, some companions remarked that his deeds had been wasted. Upon hearing this, Hazrat Salama states, "I went to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, crying and said, 'O Messenger of Allah, Amir's deeds have gone in vain.' The Holy Prophet asked, 'Who has said this?' I replied, 'Some of your companions.' Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, 'Whoever has said this has spoken erroneously. Amir shall receive a double reward.' He then brought together two fingers to indicate the dual reward and continued, 'Indeed, he fought valiantly in the way of God. Among the Arabs who have set foot upon this land, rarely has there been a person like him.' In another narration, it is reported that instead of 'set foot upon this land,' the words were, 'No Arab has been born the likes of Amir.' The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then affirmed, 'He has indeed attained two rewards. Whoever says he did not attain a reward is wrong.' At that time, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was encamped in Raji, from where he continuously dispatched his companions for 10 days in order to conquer the fortress of Naim. However, the repeated setbacks, the wounding of many companions, and the martyrdom of two further emboldened the Jews. Then, one night, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, 'Tomorrow I shall entrust the banner to a man through whose hands Allah shall grant victory. He is one that loves Allah and His Messenger.'" This narration is found in Sahih al-Bukhari. As Abu Burayda relates, "That night we rejoiced, for we were certain that we would attain victory the following day. Throughout the night, people speculated as to who would be granted the banner the next day. When morning arrived, the companions eagerly presented themselves before the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, each hoping and yearning to be chosen for this great honor. Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, relates, 'Before that day, I had never desired to attain any form of leadership. But on this occasion, I longed for it.' Hazrat Burayda, may Allah be pleased with him, further narrates, 'Previously, no one from among us aspired for a position from the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Yet on that day, every companion wished to be the one entrusted with the banner.' He continues, 'I even stood on tiptoes and raised my head, hoping that perhaps I may be chosen.' Hazrat Salama and Hazrat Jabir narrate that Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, had remained behind due to an ailment in his eyes, which had prevented him from joining the initial campaign of Khaybar. However, he became restless and was unable to stay behind. He later caught up with the camp, despite severe pain in his eyes, which made him unable to see. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, set out for Khaybar, Hazrat Ali thought about how he could stay behind when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was going. Hazrat Ali set out after him until he caught up to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Hazrat Burayda states that the next morning, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, offered the morning prayer and then asked for the flag to be brought. He stood and gave advice to the people. He then asked where Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, was. The companions replied, saying that Hazrat Ali was experiencing an ailment of the eyes. The Holy Prophet said, "Bring Ali." Hazrat Salama, may Allah be pleased with him, says, "I brought Hazrat Ali, And the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "What has happened?" Hazrat Ali said, "I am experiencing pain in my eyes to the extent that I cannot even see what is in front of me." The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "Come near me." Hazrat Ali says, "The Holy Prophet placed my head in his lap and then put some of his saliva in his hands and placed it upon my eyes." Hazrat Ali was cured in such a manner as if he had never experienced the ailment in the first place. Until his demise, he never experienced the same ailment of the eyes again. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, prayed for Hazrat Ali and bestowed him the flag. Hazrat Muslim, may Allah be pleased with him, has also mentioned this incident. He states, "On the day of Khaybar, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, 'Today, I will grant an opportunity to a person who loves God and whom God Almighty loves, and I will bestow the sword to the one whom God has granted excellence.'" Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, says, "I was present in that gathering and raised my head in hopes that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, might see me and bestow it to me. However, when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would see me, he would remain silent. I would raise my head again and he would see me, but remain silent." Eventually, Ali, who was experiencing severe pain in his eyes, arrived. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "Ali, come forward." He went to him and the Holy Prophet placed his saliva upon his eyes and said, "May Allah the Almighty cure your eyes. Take this sword which Allah Almighty has entrusted to you." In another instance, Hazrat Muslim, may Allah be pleased with him, writes, "One day, God Almighty told the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that this town was destined to be conquered at the hand of Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him. In the morning, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, announced, 'Today, I will grant the black flag of Islam to a person who God, His Messenger, and the Muslims love. God Almighty has destined this fortress to be conquered at the hands of this person.' Then, the next morning, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, summoned Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, and bestowed him the flag. Hazrat Ali took the army of companions and attacked the fortress. Despite the fact that the Jews were fortified, Allah the Almighty granted Hazrat Ali and the other companions such strength on that day that the fortress was conquered before the evening. Hazrat Ali ran and reached the foot of the fortress and wedged the flag between some rocks. Regarding the killing of the enemies, it is recorded that Hazrat Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, states, "The first to come out from the fortresses for battle was Mahrab's brother, Harith. Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, killed him, and Harith's comrades fled back into the fortress. Then the Jewish general Amir was killed. Amir emerged for battle. He was a heavy-set man. Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, proceeded to face him and made many blows, but none of those blows were successful. Then Hazrat Ali struck his shin, which caused him to fall. Hazrat Ali then killed him and took his weapons. Then there is the incident of the Jewish general Usair being killed. Another Jewish general named Usair emerged looking for a battle. Muhammad bin Maslama stepped forward to battle him and killed him. Then Marhab's brother Yasir was killed. Ibn Ishaq writes that Yasir, Marhab's brother, emerged as he recited poetry. Muhammad bin Umar writes that he was the strongest among them and he had such weapons which would crush people. Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, stepped forward to face him. Hazrat Zubair bin al-Awwam, may Allah be pleased with him, said to him, "I swear, do not come between me and him." He expressed that he would fight him, and so Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, stepped back. When Hazrat Zubair started advancing towards the disbeliever, his mother, Hazrat Safiya, said, "O Allah's Messenger, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he will kill my son." The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "In fact, your son will kill him, God willing." Hazrat Zubair advanced towards him and said a few poetic couplets, after which both started fighting and Hazrat Zubair killed him. Then the most prominent and brave soldier from among the people of Khaybar emerged laden with his armor and began reciting poetic couplets The same as mentioned earlier, that Khaybar knows that I am Marhab, bearing arms, brave, experienced, as the flames of battle advance. Hazrat Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, stepped forth against him. He was wearing a red robe. He drew his sword and said the following couplets. That is to say, I am he whose mother named Haider, like the awe-inspiring lion that dwells in the forests. I give a sandara, a large measure, in exchange for one sa, a measure of volume. This is an idiom meaning to give more than one receives, or to respond to a brick with a larger stone. The literal meaning of a sandara is a large measure, while a sa is somewhat less, equivalent to 2.5 seers. It is further stated that Hazrat Ali struck Marhab on the head and killed him. Then victory was achieved by his hands. One narration states that a battle took place between Hazrat Ali and Marhab. Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, stepped forward and struck Marhab with such force that it cut through his helmet and head, reaching his teeth. Then people advanced with Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, until they conquered the fort. Some biographers state that Muhammad bin Maslama killed Marhab. According to Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah's narration, when Marhab emerged from the fort brandishing his weapons, challenging to combat and reciting verses of war, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, asked who would face him. Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama said, O Messenger of Allah, I will face him. By Allah, he killed my brother yesterday. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, rise to face him, and prayed, O Allah, help him. It is narrated that when both drew near for combat, an old tree came between them. Both began to dodge behind the tree. Whenever one would take shelter behind the tree, the other would cut away at that part until they came directly face to face. Then Marhab struck at Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama with his sword, but he defended himself with his shield. Marhab's sword got stuck in the shield and cut through it. Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama struck him with his sword and killed him. Another narration states that Muhammad bin Maslama struck Marhab and cut his legs, causing him to fall. Then Hazrat Ali came by and killed him. The commentator of Bukhari, Hafidh ibn Hajar, wrote that Ibn Ishaq, Musa bin Uqba, Waqidi, and several other biographers wrote that Muhammad bin Maslama killed Marhab. Muhammad bin Maslama had killed Marhab's brother Harith, but some narrators became confused and wrote Marhab's name instead of Harith. If this is not the case, then what is in Sahih Muslim that Hazrat Ali killed Marhab takes precedence over other accounts. In Sahih Muslim, Salama bin Laqwa narrates that Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, killed Marhab. The Sahih Muslim narration takes precedence for two reasons. First, it has an authentic chain of narration, and second, Hazrat Jabir, who narrated the version that states it was Muhammad bin Maslama, was not present at the Battle of Khaybar. Regarding this, it should be clarified that there is disagreement in historical and biographical books about which fort these duels and killings took place in. Neither Bukhari, Muslim, nor the other six authentic books of Hadith mention any fort by name. Similarly, some biographical books narrate these events without specifying any fort, such as Sirat ibn Hisham, Tabaqat ibn Sa'd, and Sharh Zurqani. However, some books attribute these events to the fort Qamus, while others attribute them to Fort Na'im. Nevertheless, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and the Muslims continue to attack this fort for 9 days, until on the 10th day, Allah the Almighty granted the Muslims victory over it. In describing the Muslims' capture of Fort Na'im, no historian has mentioned how much spoils and weapons the Muslims seized when conquering the strongest fort of Khaybar. It's possible that Muslims didn't acquire anything noteworthy because the Jews had already transferred women and children to other forts due to the emergency situation. When the Jews were defeated and became unable to prevent the Muslim attack on Fort Na'im, they themselves also conveniently moved to Fort Sa'd bin Mu'adh. And not a single Jew was captured by the Muslims in the battles of Fort Na'im. There are more details about this which will be stated, God willing, in the events of the remaining forts. As I continuously remind regarding prayers, pray extensively for the state of the world, for the condition of Muslims, especially for the Palestinians, and generally for the Muslim world. Their conditions, though people appear hopeful that they might improve with the ceasefire, are actually getting worse. The new American president's policy and scheme have reached another extreme of oppression. Previously, Americans would say he, that is the president, is dangerous for their country and didn't interfere abroad. But now he has become dangerous for the whole world. May Allah the Almighty have mercy on the Palestinians and the world, and may people be protected from this. Arab countries should still open their eyes and try to establish unity. There is no alternative for survival. Otherwise, not just Palestine, but other Arab countries will also face severe difficulties. Although now some non-Muslims have also started raising voices in their favor, in the Palestinians' favor, against oppression, the powerful are completely intoxicated with their power at this time and don't want to listen to anyone. Thus, Muslims need to pay much attention and we need to pray for them. We have no other power. Similarly, pray for the Ahmadis of Pakistan, whose conditions sometimes become very intense with opposition. Pray for the Ahmadis of Bangladesh as well. May Allah the Almighty protect them from all kinds of opposition and attacks. Pray for oppressed people in other places too. Pray for oppressed Ahmadis. May Allah the Almighty keep them all in His protection, give the world wisdom, and create attention towards establishing peace among them all. May Allah the Almighty grant us the ability to pray.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمداً عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر